Hello, well, welcome.
A little laugh.
I can't believe we've waited for 25 minutes and then you cut my prime off. Jesus Christ, Atley.
Professionals, every one of us.
It's the big show, as long as Jeff remembers that he's actually here, of course, and Alzheimer's doesn't kick in yet again, because I asked him what he covered on last week's show and he can't remember. So if you're wondering what the title is of last week's show, it's been generated this week, but don't worry, because Jeff will have forgotten by next week. Yeah. The big show, yes. I'm back. Thank you very much for stepping in last week, Jeff. Really, really good. Maybe.
I'm sure that I was happy to do it and that we probably had a great show.
You were great, dearie. Don't worry about it. Superb. I mean, bloody stands collapse now on me show on my stream deck. There we go. Right. Thanks very much. I had a cold, so it was a bit pathetic. I went and got a COVID test. It was negative, but I just felt a bit crappy, so I thought best not come in case I give it to anyone else. Excuse me a second while I just stop and get a drink out of my Ironman Max mug. Mmm. Look at
that.
Is
it true that everything tastes better in one of their mugs?
It does. It does, yeah. It's an absolutely... Look at that. An Ironman Max mug. Thank you, Mo, for bringing this round this afternoon. An Ironman Max mug. Now, if you want one, you can buy them. So that's a good thing. We don't know where you're going to buy them yet, but you can buy them. But also, we have a mug to give away, and we also have three wireless charging mats for Ironman Max to give away. And these are actually really good, actually. I've used one today. But we've got three of these to give away, and we've got a mug to give away as well as. And you can always write in and buy a mug if you really do want one. So there you go. We'll have a chat about that later, though. Joining me, superb panel. Absolutely stellar. I haven't set the three-way thing up, so I'm going to have to try and figure out what I'm going to do next. Starting us off, top left, it's Rich. How you doing, dude?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Yeah, okay. It's all right. It's not been bad.
It snowed in, though.
We had a bit of a flutter at the start of the week, and then it got a bit crappy, but it's all right now.
We're all a bit stuck up here. Whereabouts are you?
It's warm. I'm in Birmingham, mate.
Ah, right. Okay.
But it's a bit crappy down here, but it's rainy and it's warm. I've had the radiators on all day in the studio and I'm baking in here. You all right? Good Christmas?
Yeah, not so bad.
Decent
time.
Got
some new toys and stuff like that.
You bought some new toes?
New toys.
Oh, right. Christ. I was like, fucking hell, mate. I thought you were Shackleton there for a minute. Next to him, it's Jeff. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great. And what show is this again?
You're not my uncle.
It's great to have you back.
It's good to have you too, mate. Did you have a good Christmas or can't you remember?
Wait, when was Christmas?
Yeah, it's
no,
coming
actually,
up, mate. Only 362 Christmas. Sleeps to Christmas or something like that. It was...
Awesome.
Excellent, mate.
I should start sleeping now just to get ready.
Yes.
I had a nice Christmas and a nice New Year's Eve, and the weather's nice out today.
Good. I do worry, you know, if you get up to go and get a drink or something at mid-show, you won't come back. So,
it's totally possible. I'm thinking, since I have wired headphones, I should make sure everything that I need is no farther away than I can reach with my headphones in so that I don't forget to come back.
Get an expanding cord for your headphones so that when you get your tea made, you can go, why was I out here again? Oh, look, there's a
and
cord and I'm plugged
cord
into
back.
The cord, so I'll just follow the cord back. Yeah, there you go.
That's and then genius. Sit down and be like, oh, hey, here's a cool show to
that
watch.
Genius. I should be on the stage. Next to him, it's Atley. Not a picture out of his window because there's no frigging snow. Canada has no frigging snow.
Well, Canada does, just where I am does. We don't get an awful lot of snow here, and when we do get it, it doesn't really stick around for very long.
Oh, that's good. That's the kind of part of Canada my wife would love then.
Yeah, it's if you're on either one of the coasts, it's usually pretty good.
Now, how's the dog's toe that we didn't talk about last week, but Jeff
Not
thought
his
we
toe,
did?
His tail.
Tail.
His stitches actually come out tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. So he stopped bleeding everywhere.
Pretty good. Oh well, yeah, no, he's not coating the house like with blood like Dexter on a fender.
Okay. like your reference there, mate, bringing it back home. next to him, Patrice, how you doing, missus?
Doing good. Bit busy beginning of the year, as always. But yeah, it's good. It's been snowing here. Like, it's crazy. We have snow in Canada. That doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, you're Austria. You're supposed to have snow.
Not where I'm at. Like, it rarely doesn't snow here. Like, it's just too low and whatever. Like, up in the mountains. Sure.
So you live in a part of Austria my wife would love as well?
Yeah, probably.
Cool.
Just like me.
Yeah, my wife does like you, actually.
That's true.
And next to Patrice is Howa. How you doing, girl?
Hello.
What you been up to?
Not much, really. Well, no, I say that, and then that's not true. Christmas was great. And then caught the flu, was out for 2 weeks. And no, it wasn't COVID. Had loads of my family who are health professionals calling in and asking all sorts of questions to determine what I had. And then, yeah, I've just been busy with a little side project that's due to go live. Well, partly gone live.
Can you tell us? Or is it super secret?
No, it's not a secret, but it is going to be added to my cool thing. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So when can we expect the announcement?
It's an event. It's actually been announced, but I haven't been on the socials, so I haven't really done much on my end. But yeah.
Okay. We wait with bated breath then to find out what it is.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming along. And last but by no means least, Mr. Grant.
Good evening, sir. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, buddy. Are you well?
I'm good. And we're in snowy North Yorkshire up here in York. It's been lovely and snowy all day.
Nice.
It's now washing away and got a bit slushy and horrible. We might get more, I think.
Oh, well. Never mind.
So, but it's all right. It's what we expect. At least we've got some.
Cool. The Week in Tech, where we can start? Well, I thought we'd start with an interesting story because it'd be interesting to get people's opinion. Now, Jeff doesn't remember whether he talked about this last week or not, but actually what the news is not the bit about Trump getting banned from Twitter, because you have talked about that. Mm. The story is about the fact that Angela Merkel and Bruno Le Maire have waded in and said that the Chancellor sees the complete closing down of the account of an elected president as very problematic, unquote. That was Stefan Siebert, her chief spokesman, at a news conference. Rights like freedom of speech can be interfered with, but by law and within the framework defined by the legislature, not according to corporate decisions. The German leader's stance on this was also echoed by French Foreign Minister Bruno Le Maire, who said that the state and not the digital oligarchy should be responsible for regulations, calling big tech one of the threats to democracy. Oh, aye, aye. Is that you, Atlee? Thanks, mate. Rubbing the snow off your mic.
Who would have thought that the one thing that Germans or a German lady and someone from France could agree on would be the ban of Trump on Twitter.
I don't know it as well, because I think they're both a little bit... I mean, Merkel's centre-right, isn't she? She's not fascist, but she's not exactly liberal.
No, she's centre-right.
Mm.
Yeah, so she's more centre, I would have said, than right as well, but a bit more liberal.
What counts in Germany as centre-right, which is very, very centre, or almost, sometimes even like in other countries, it would be almost little centre-left, so...
Centre-right is actually centre-left in Germany, of course. How silly of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
no,
it's
other
just
way around.
Math.
Like, centre-right in Germany is centre-left in other countries. Germany tends to skew a little bit more towards the left, like, for historical reasons.
What, because of the Second World War? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because the right, I mean, being right is...
Not doing that again.
Yeah. I mean, there's a minority still, but mostly it's more that.
Oh, okay. That's quite interesting because, I mean, the thing that you would have said is whether the French guy is right-wing or not and whether he would subscribe to a fascist agenda or not. But it seems like both of them probably
Le Pen
aren't.
Is the particular fascist
Well,
group
Le Pen is the worst one, isn't she? Absolutely. But
Yeah.
but I don't think that, I think he's not. I think he's actually pretty much the same kind of politics as Merkel.
Pretty much.
I mean, my question would be, is this a genuine concern over the digital oligarchy, or is this just, holy shit, we really could lose control here of something that actually is an immensely powerful platform and we really need to have it?
I think the latter. I think they're frightened that if they can muzzle the president, maybe they can muzzle me. I mean, I'm only the president. I'm only the Chancellor of Germany, but they can muzzle me as well. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
This is completely wrong in my opinion. I'm sorry, but Twitter is a platform. The governments have access to television and radio and newspapers and everything else that they've been using for like hundreds of years to get hold of their citizenry. This ability to just fart out whatever the hell is in your mind at any particular given second is something that is normally the foray of the general public. And this is a private business that gets to do this. If the governments want to have a social network that they can control, by all means, put one out. Let the citizens subscribe to it if they want to. But the citizens already do. They already have radio. They already have news. They already have television. They already have newspapers. This is not something that the governments really need or have to control. There's got to be something that's allowed by the companies are simply allowed to decide what is the attitude and the tone and camber of their platforms. And all of this, oh my God, we've got to struggle because they could shut me. Who gives a shit if they shut a president off Twitter? Really, it is a social network. It is a toy. It is a social toy. It is not a political instrument.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean,
however, it is the modern equivalent of the town square. This is now where people go to talk and communicate with each other. And you talk about the methods of communication that the government's had for a very long time. And you're listing just dying or near-dead methods of communication. Who's buying newspapers still? You know, radio and television are becoming secondary things to the internet and to Twitter. And you've now got this situation where purely by chance... I'm sure this wasn't by design, but we now have a situation where a private company run by a few people who run a company sat in a room in California somewhere get to decide the world over who can and can't be part of this conversation where it takes place. And they're not governed by any set of laws, really, except the ones they decide in that room. So they can cut off whoever they want, whenever they want to.
Let him come back.
The same thing.
Why is it not the same thing?
It is not the same thing. This is a opt-in. This is a private company's platform that they set up, they created, they host, they pay for, they do everything else. They harvest the crap out of people's information because we don't want to pay for things, and that's just the way that is. But when it comes right down to it, this is not something that... So what you're saying is that every government in the world should have full control over who can be on and who can't be on Twitter. Because you can't say that then the American government can control who's on and off Twitter, because then the Americans could shut off the leaders of another country and now we're into the exact same problem. So what you're saying right now is that there should be a global law that Twitter cannot police itself.
Well, the problem is that I don't actually have what I'd say is a viable solution to you, Beer. Because of course, some sort of international law governing Twitter seems a bit insane, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do know that it's a bloody awful idea to have just Twitter look after themselves and decide these things. So it can't remain how it is. This isn't a sustainable thing. Surely.
When you sign up to Twitter, you sign to their terms and conditions. So, fair enough whether you've read it or not, you are signing to their terms and conditions. I don't see it as being any different from going somewhere and signing to join a club, and you agree to whatever their code of conduct is going to be. And if you haven't met that code of conduct, I think they've got the right to pull you off because they are a private company.
Exactly. And basically what's happening is all the leaders are going, oh, crap. Oh, crap. You mean if we don't do the things we said we'd do on their platform, they're going to kick us off? No, we don't want that to happen.
That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
No, that is 100%.
Hang on. Let Patrice speak now. Go.
So maybe for context, because the story was, the story in the press was a little bit misconstrued. Like, what she actually said was something a little bit different than what the press took it. What she said, I think there's also probably a little bit of German, like, very law-abiding view on it, is that it shouldn't be on Twitter to decide from a legal perspective what should and should not be on a platform. They shouldn't be at the forefront of it. Like, the laws should be there to exactly ban this type of and do it, and it shouldn't be Twitter that has to do it because there is no law.
Just to quote.
Then you run into the problem about international law, what's internationally acceptable in one place versus another. And who's going to make those decisions?
And that's exactly her point. She wants the the law community, the international community, to work on that exactly. And that's exactly her point. And as I said, it is a little bit a German viewpoint, because it's like Germany is a very law-centric country compared to, like, I mean, Europe in general is more like, I mean, that's it. It's like stuff isn't allowed unless we have a law for it. It's kind of more the European approach, whereas in the US, it's like we can do whatever we want unless there's a law against it. And so I think that's a bit of a cultural difference. And I think we talked about that last week as well, that it is not that different.
So then there is a perfect remedy. The countries that don't like Twitter having the control over that dialogue block Twitter from their areas, just like China does.
Oh, that's naive, mate.
And then
that
they're open.
Naive.
They have, well, but the thing is, you cannot tell me that if a German company opens up an application like Twitter, that it would not be possible for it to want to, for German people to want to engage in the dialogue and have their discourse, their public and political discourse there.
But
that's perfectly viable.
That's not the conversation. And that's where I will take issue, Atlee, is that you're saying, oh, okay, start your own social network and then you can control it. That's not the issue. The issue is the fact that there is a monstrous tsunami of public opinion and bilious commentary as well as that is rolling along in Twitter, and the only people that can control whether that crashes onto the shore or not are Twitter. Now, generally speaking, I think an awful lot of social media people do a fairly good job of keeping things fairly civil, but there is Cambridge Analytica scandals, the stuff with Facebook over posts and A versus B posts that influence and politically influence people into the last election. And then the fact that something, right, okay, I don't like what this person said, therefore I'll take it off. Now, in the case of Trump, I mean, you know, America has impeached the bloke for the second time today. So, you know, there is clearly justification to have removed his opportunity to create further mayhem, and no one can back away from that. But it was done before the impeachment.
But it was also because he had broken their terms of agreement. He had broken their service terms of agreement.
He jumped up and down and stamped all over it.
Do you know what? Hang on.
They finally got to a point where they said, we can't let this go on any longer. We've got to do it. It's what we talked about last week. It got to the point where there was all the men sat in a room, and who's going to be first then? Which one of us is going to do it? I don't know.
Do you know what? Do you know what?
And then the legal boys are saying, maybe we should now. Yeah, go on.
There's argument that making your own thing is a choice, because it's absolutely not. Because look at Parler this week, who are exactly what you suggested. If you don't like Twitter's terms and conditions, go and make your own social network. So Parler did. And then Google said, well, we don't like the people that are on your social network. You're not being in the Play Store. And Apple said the same thing. And now they can't have any apps. And then Amazon said the same thing. We don't like the people that are in your thing. So we're shutting down your hosting.
But
now they're gone.
Not, like,
Because these big companies
hold all this power and decide what they think is good and bad and shut people down. So no, you can't go and make your own social network.
Jeff has a point. Let Jeff talk.
Okay, so looking at what happened with Parler and saying that all of these different companies decided they don't like what Parler is saying, and so we're shutting them down, that's a little too simple for what happened, because what happened was Parler had created a platform where people were allowed to openly discuss the overthrow of governments, assassinating political figures, and were organizing these types of events. And and at that point, the companies were like, okay, this cannot fly. You know, when you are calling for inciting and planning insurrections, you have really crossed the line.
Did no one actually think that's a really good idea?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I think what
Did no one really think that that's a great idea to keep that thing around? Because all you've got to do is log on if you're the CIA or the FBI, and you know what everyone's going to do.
I heard about there was a post going on.
Yeah, it should be hosted on CIA servers, and then
there we go.
Amazon and everyone else, they don't have to worry about liability.
Maybe they'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Someone had done a post and put your name and address if you were at the
Well, we need to talk one at a time, guys.
Sorry.
And give everyone a chance. Howard, go on.
I was going to say, didn't somebody manage to hack in and dump all the details and it's available?
Oh, it wasn't even a hack. It was all just openly available. So they just did a data dump.
No, it was actually hacked because it was running on WordPress. And they actually got all the deleted messages and user, like, the photo IDs that people posted to Parler to verify their identity. Like, all of that is out there.
They were in an Excel spreadsheet database.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the way the posts were cataloged, it was a sequential URL. So all you had to do was write a simple script that queried for the URL. And then added the number one, or just added one to the end of it, and just kept going. And you'd get literally every single post in sequential order by doing that.
Right.
The joys of lazy
rookie
IDs.
Mistake. Yep.
Yay.
Anyway, rookie so mistake. I think what happened was all these social networks have been going along for all of this time going, you know what, it's just speech, just free speech. They can say anything they want. Everything can go on. Nothing's happening. Nothing bad's happening. And all of a sudden, the riots happened and they went, holy crap, us giving these forums actually has consequences and we actually have to stick by our terms and conditions and, you know, and start restricting some of these people. And then when Amazon basically had to own up for the fact that, well, yeah, I mean, this social network is all about violence and insurrection and aggression and negativity towards governments and government leaders and things like that, they basically said, well, we can't post this anymore. Now, Parler could, at the very least, could go the same route of things like Pirate Bay and other things like that and find hosting anywhere, find international hosting that's, you know, offshore hosting and be hosted and go there. And I'm sure that if the people that run it have 4 brain cells between the whole group of them, they'll probably figure that out at some point. And so it is possible for that network to still exist and still be there. And it'll still be traceable. It'll still have the same faults it has because chances are the people that wrote it will not get that much smarter about how they manage it. But like there are avenues for these things. I mean, the dark web is full of a ton of crap that you can find about all sorts of horrible things and all sorts of things that would not fit or mesh on normal social media. So there are avenues for people that want to have these kinds of discourses that we don't find socially acceptable or socially presentable.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't necessarily feel bad that Parler got thrown off Amazon because Amazon also won't host child porn. So, I mean, sure. I mean, you've got to look at, you know, the companies have to look at what their liabilities are and what I mean, the companies themselves, if you go and work for Amazon, you have to sign a morality clause. Well, there's no way in hell the morality clause would ever be upstandable or defensible in court if they themselves were doing things that would go against their own morality clause. So, I mean,
I think we're straying away from the point here of
to shareholders. Here.
Yeah, I think we're straying away from the point that there is a risk of censorship if you're not careful.
Yep.
And we've had that. We've had that with Facebook. We know that social media can influence opinion, heavily influence opinion. And you're talking about there is a risk of social media selecting governments, and that cannot be go unchecked. And I'm with Rich on this one. That has to be on the table for discussion.
You also
see you can't have one without the other, Atlee. You can't go, oh, it's a corporation. They can do what they like. When you've got to have some check and balance on the other side of the fact that Twitter could pick the next president of the United States if it wanted to, it really could. And if Facebook wanted to, it really could. And you could have a president then. Your Facebook backs Biden, Twitter backs Trump, and you've got the war of the socials is selecting our political leaders. That cannot happen.
Yep. And I think that's also the reason why Twitter and the others didn't outright ban anybody before. I mean, they banned certain things where it was clearly over the line. But everything else...
They banned IMN Max for live tweeting an Apple event.
We're living in a world where, at the moment, you agree with what Twitter and Facebook and everybody say about what is acceptable on their platform.
Well, no, I don't, to be honest.
Well, not you personally.
I find the American standard of morality a little bit screwed up. You watch a TV show and there's zero nudity on it, but they'll say the most heinous swear word that I can think of that's only got four letters. And I'm just like, and The Boys, I mean, The Boys was a wonderful series spoiled by the proliferation of a word that I will not allow in the Slack room or even to be bleeped out on this show. You say it on this network, you go. You'll never come on another show again. And I just will not condone it. But that the entire show was proliferated with it, and it ruined it. It absolutely ruined it. But that's the thing is, American morality is no nudity, but swear all you like.
The source material for Boys, by the way, was full of all of that, because that's what Garth Ennis wrote.
Yeah, no. And then everyone's going to go, oh, you've got to be true to the original script. No, you don't. Not for that word.
I probably agree for the fact that it's going to go live on television. You've got no control over the audience.
It's free to air over Netflix. Anyone that gets up at any time of the day that pushes a button that starts Netflix, there's no passcode to get into Netflix. My 11-year-old daughter could have watched it on my profile, and she could have watched it on her own profile, for that matter. The story about the superheroes, yes.
Isn't that an Amazon show?
All right, Amazon then. Fair enough. Yeah. If you want to get picky, that's not the point of the conversation.
No, that's fine. I just
but even you saying that, I mean, you're acknowledging that there is a limit to free speech. There are certain things that I would say we as a society, and it might be different around the world.
I agree.
Have decided that it's not acceptable.
Totally agree.
And that's applicable everywhere. I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
And generally speaking, America believes that is decided upon by how many people march with their feet or vote with their feet. Well, when you get to the size of social media, that can't apply. That cannot apply, because it's not like watching a TV show that you find a little bit offensive and saying, right, I'm not going to watch that again. It's not the same. It is about...
What they really need to do is allow you to set your own... Each person gets to set their own level of what they think needs to be censored out.
Right, you're switching again onto the topic that I'm talking about, when the paraphrase is the fact that actually the issue is the fact that governments cannot be selected by social media platforms. And at this point in time, that is a very realistic probability.
So the other thing before they were said they were selected by the newspapers. Get rid of
is their algorithm that chooses material. And that would also go for things like YouTube. YouTube also has to be included in this conversation, because all of them use... algorithms that spiral you towards content they know you're going to agree with. And so what we really need to do in social media is make sure that that is no longer a thing. You can't only be shown things that you like and things that you agree with. You have to be shown everything.
That's a really good point and a really big issue.
Well, you ever see what you like. But getting back to the point I was just trying to make before, this isn't new. This is what's been around before. The newspapers did it before.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean...
News media, CBS, NBC, the BBC, whoever, despite partiality, etc., all set the agenda, all drove the story in the direction they wanted.
They could make a politician,
as well as they could themselves.
The Tony Blair election, when the headline was, will whoever's the last out of Britain please turn off the lights? And that one headline swung the entire election towards Blair.
And the other thing that this brings up as well is that we also need to change the, we have to obliterate the concept of infotainment. What I mean is this crappy stuff that calls itself news that is not news. Because when you come right down to, when you talk about who's choosing presidents, the largest voting block that actually votes are older people, and they're not on social media. They are on watching, they're watching Fox, they're watching OAN, they're watching CNN, they're watching MSNBC. And all of these stations have the same problem that the social medias have, is that they're targeting this little, these little outrage pieces and narrowly dragging people down a rabbit hole that then chooses an election, chooses the president.
Look at Fox News.
Yes.
I think you'd be surprised at how many older demographic people are heavily into Facebook.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I say that. They're really into Facebook.
Yeah. And it's probably in the states like Florida where there's a massive holding for Trump, that kind of stuff. The Polish Prime Minister have waded in saying algorithms or the owners of corporate giants should not decide which views are right and which are not. Which is saying that what you've just said, Atlee, but the point you've got there is the fact that if it starts showing me stuff I don't want to watch, I'm going to move away from it. So it's a devil in the deep blue sea issue. And at YouTube today, I watched a couple of YouTube videos over lunch. And then this afternoon, I came back into the studio. I had about an hour to kill. So I fired up YouTube and refreshed the page. And literally 10 to 12 of the videos that I looked at were videos I'd watched today. And it's just like, I know you're trying to get me the stuff I like, but the same video I watched 4 hours ago is not the stuff I like. That is, I don't want to watch it again. You know, get this sorted,
you know,
and they can't get that sorted.
Why that's happening is there's a large percentage of the YouTube population that will watch a video over and over and over and over again, and go back and
God help us all,
and share it again, and copy it to their friends, email it out to people, and that's something that's happening, which is what's causing the algorithm to break down and do that.
God help us all.
If any of those people would like to watch my YouTube channel and send it out that much, you'll find it on.
Right, Howard, we're going to do your story because I've taken up half the show with that.
Hey,
tell us about your story
with regards to so we all know Facebook, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week because I wasn't here, but we all know Facebook
neither
changed
was Jeff
its, policies and good old Mr. Musk went out on Twitter to say move to Signal. And as a result, quite a lot of people have actually moved to either Signal or to Telegram. And I think Twitter's boss also endorsed the Signal move. What I've been trying to ascertain is just how badly, if badly, this will affect Facebook. And I know there was that confusion about whether it applied to Europe, and it turns out it doesn't apply to Europe. And if you're in the EU, EEA, or the UK, but it applies everywhere else. Because I've had quite a lot of my family members coming back and basically saying, don't call me on WhatsApp. Don't send me messages. I've moved.
I like WhatsApp.
I moved too.
I only got into WhatsApp in the last 2 years, and I really love it.
Well, I mean, We talked about it last week. WhatsApp is doing the thing that it said it wouldn't, or Facebook is doing the thing it said it wouldn't do, like a couple of years ago. Yeah. They said they would not combine the data with Facebook's data, and now they're doing it. I mean, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what is making people switch.
I mean, my measure of this is what my, and you've met her, my lovely mother-in-law. She uses WhatsApp to talk to my my wife and a sister and a few other people, and that's all she uses it for. And she's perpetually, at the same time being incredibly techno-savvy, she's also got a huge dose of techno-fear. So any message pops up that she doesn't understand, she's on the phone to me or sending me messages. What's this mean? What's this mean? That's good. I say yes to it? And getting all panicky. And she said nothing about this, which I found surprising. And she uses WhatsApp every day to talk to Kay or talk to Liz. And so I just wonder if anyone outside people like us, now, on the other hand, a techie mate of mine who, again, he's one of these people that says, well, I don't use Facebook, saw that message pop up when he was using WhatsApp and says, no, off to Signal. And that, frankly, wasn't a surprise in a way, typical Kev. But it's just interesting that I only think the people that are probably getting worried about this is us, really, rather than the general unwashed. I don't think they'll give too much. That's the problem.
I'm more worried about the people who are ready to drop everything and do whatever the hell Elon Musk tells them to do.
Well, I was just about to say that. With great power comes bugger all responsibility. No one gives a shit.
Come on. So he said, he didn't even make a case for it. You Signal. I will obey. Get a life. Come on.
Well, that's part of his grand plan for his base he's got underneath the mountain. You know, he's going to build himself a nice little office underneath a volcano.
Oh, have you seen Death to 2020?
Oh, God, he's trying to do the plot for Moonraker, isn't he? I've just realised.
Yes. He will control us all.
Have you seen Death to 2020 and the billionaire who builds himself a safe mountain?
No.
You've got to watch Death to 2020. It's brilliant. No, it's just interesting that Musk says at 12:56, use Signal. And then by 5:53 p.m., Signal is saying verification codes are currently delayed across several patterns because new people are trying to join.
Join in.
We can barely register excitement, they say. Yeah, well, do right. You want the biggest plug for your system possible.
Elon Musk plugged us.
I have a lot of conversations on WhatsApp, and no one in any of those conversations, and they're all tech-savvy people, have said, hey, let's switch over to Signal.
No.
Yeah, see, I should have going back to what he was saying about, is it tech people that are doing this? I've got, and I don't know whether it's because it's the country, but I do have a lot of people like in Nigeria who have just switched, and a few of them have never even heard of Elon Musk, but they've just decided that's it.
That's interesting. I mean, it's WhatsApp seems to be used more widely elsewhere in different ways than it does here. I mean, it's just yet another platform.
They will do when Elon Musk's Starnet thing passes over Nigeria and dims the sun by 10 degrees. Then they'll know who he is.
Yeah.
I'm betting that this is a very popular app in Germany. I mean, half of Germany switched off Instagram for a little while for no reason whatsoever. So,
I love the fact that Bob Beach has just put, why the F would I do what Elon Musk tells me to? Dude, you're from Yorkshire. You don't do what God tells you to.
It's true.
Oh, my God. Good story, Gil. Good story. I'm rattling now to try and get through a few more stories so it's not just one story. Patrice, doorbells. Tell us about doorbells.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I've gone out of order here.
In other security news, Ring is rolling out end-to-end encryption for some of their doorbells, at least.
Some?
Some. I didn't see a list, but it's apparently not everything. But if you want to have that, you have to give up some features, particularly the ones that need cloud access because they're doing processing in the cloud, like motion. I think like advanced motion detection, motion verification. I think the people only mode, which I think it detects whether it's actually a person or not. Like the more advanced processing things that you can do on a device, apparently, or at least not on the camera. Also, if you're using your Ring cameras with an Echo Show or a Fire TV device that doesn't work currently, I would bet that they will work that out at some point. But it's interesting, like, Ring has been in the news for, privacy reasons, and now they're introducing end-to-end encryption, and I have a couple of Ring.
I was going to say, because is this a backlash against the police hacking in or using Ring?
Yes. Yeah. And not just the police, also probably other people. It works, according to the article, the Video Doorbell Pro, Doorbell Elite, the Floodlight Cam, the Indoor Cam, the Stick Up Cam.
Is it genuine end-to-end encryption, or is it like Zoom end-to-end encryption?
ouch.
Hard to tell currently. I mean, it sounds all right, but I think that is something that a security researcher should have a closer look at how secure it actually is.
It's always good to have someone competent look at something, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, based on the pure announcement right now, it's hard to tell how good it actually is and whether it's worth anything or just marketing. Yeah, but I think it's a good thing, and I think more cameras should be better.
Yeah, no, I just... Ring do some great products, and I've got one, but they do... Mm-hmm. Mine struggles terribly. It's got a decent internet connection, but it'll pling-a-ling-a-ling fairly quickly on my phone, but not on the chime that's there. And then it won't ring in the house, but it'll ring on my phone when I'm 20 miles away, but it won't ring on my phone when I'm in the house. Or it rings, and it's 20 minutes after I've already taken the package in.
Right.
There's bigger issues, really, isn't there, than worrying about this?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, I really wish that Ring would adapt, what is it, HomeKit Secure Video, for example, like some of the more advanced features that some platforms offer. But, yeah, it's an Amazon product, so software is always a little bit of an issue, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyone else got an opinion? Because so far there's only two of us have said something. Clearly not, right.
Good.
Great story, mate.
That was quick.
Jeff, that's not your story. That was you adding to another story. Let's do the Cosmos. Oh, no, that's not the cause. No, you haven't put your story in. I thought that was your story, but it's not. God, this show's slick.
Well, yeah, it was there. I put a story in.
All right, here we go. I found it now.
Yeah. It was there somewhere. It was a Cosmos story.
Astronomers, I think we might actually get more conversation about the Ring doorbell than this one. Astronomers just found the oldest supermassive black hole yet. Just 670 million years after the Big Bang, a quasar with a monstrous black hole dominated a growing galaxy.
It's just another one when you look at the
Unless you've got Brian Cox there, I can't wait for your explanation of this story, Granty. Go on, mate.
It's just one of those ones when you read it and you see all the superlatives written about how the size and depth and distance, and that just makes me smile that we can detect and see these things. That's the big thing for me, unfortunately. I don't have massive explanations. I just have, wow, space.
Okay. So that was a story that just got you really, really excited.
It's wow, space. It's cool, mate. Sorry.
No, I mean...
It's just cool bits of science. It's cool bits of science.
We've got a cosmic room in the Slack instance. And basically what's in there is just utter bollocks. Because it's all of us either posting a story that goes, wow, no clue what this is about, but it said black hole and supermassive. Or there's some postulations from some idiot about, hang on, I woke up this morning and I thought about how the universe works and I might be right. I won't. No. I'm going to out myself here, and I'm going to get an email, I'm sure, that just says wanker on it. But I woke up, right? And you know about this paradox about the fact that the universe is actually accelerating in its expansion. Everyone knows that, right? Mm-hmm. I just woke there for one moment. I was lying awake, and I just thought to myself, has anyone ever proved that it's slowed down?
Good question.
That's a great question. See? Because I'm just thinking, everyone's gone about the
expansion was apparently very rapid, so it should have slowed down, but it's a good question, yeah.
But my point would be, what about if in the idea of a Big Bang, because in the idea of a Big Bang, we're sitting thinking, bang is like a bang and it's done. Well, what if we're still at the B of bang? 14 billion years in, we're still at the B of bang.
It's constantly expanding, isn't it? So they say, so it should... So
we're still in the...
It's just going to keep on going.
I know a little bit about deflagration, detonation and explosion. And what if we're at this idea of the fact that we've still got acceleration of gases away from a central point of explosion, and we're still in that 14 billion years later? And then you start to go into the idea of time's relative and the density of gravity versus the expansion. Yeah. And I got to that, at that point, I fell asleep. But my point, I just got this main thought in my head. Has anyone ever proved that we slowed down at all? Because if we haven't slowed down at all, it's not a paradox then, is it? It's just us not realising that it hasn't slowed down.
Let me get my bong.
I hadn't smoked anything. I hadn't, honest. I work on the rail network. I can't smoke anything. So, but there you go. Has anyone ever proved that it's actually slowed down?
Yeah. I mean, I think because we're still trying to figure out why it's even speeding up. I mean, we have some ideas, but they haven't proven anything.
Because we've assumed that it's gone pop and then stopped. And I don't think it has. I think we're still in the P of popped.
I don't think we're assuming anything right now. Since we don't know why it's speeding up, we can't tell whether we're still speeding, whether that's part of the initial step or whether it has slowed down in between. I don't think we can even tell. Since we don't know why it's even expanding faster.
So Bob's typed something. Well, I need to read out what Bob typed earlier, actually, to my comment about Yorkshire. Bob put, I'm an atheist, so there's an obvious point. And Magic Man put, I thought God was actually a Yorkshireman.
It's his own country.
Is it an old model? The newer model reacts much more quickly, we found. I'm not sure what that's about. Until recently, astronomers fully expect to see gravity slowing down the expansion of the cosmos. In 1998, however, researchers discovered the repulsive side of gravity, and its explanation in turn led to the conclusion that the expansion of the universe is actually speeding up and not slowing down. From Scientific America. Now, I knew that, but I didn't know if anyone had... They expected it to slow down, but it's never... Do we know it's ever slowed down? That was my question. And I'm perfectly happy to admit, when it comes to the cosmos, I am an utter idiot. I'm an utter idiot to plenty of other things as well. But there you go. The shit you think of.
Yeah. No,
when you can't get to sleep.
It's a good question. That's, I think, a question we should ask Neil deGrasse Tyson. Like, have him answer it.
No, I wrote. I wrote a question.
Have him on the show. I'm sure he'd love to come on.
I wrote a question to Brian Cox on Twitter once, thinking, well, he's never going to reply because he gets billions of tweets and that kind of stuff. So, and I put, why are physicists so obsessed with infinity when zero seems to have much more influence on the real world? And he actually replied to me. And he basically, in a very nice way, called me a complete twat.
Well, at least he didn't reply. He said, just wanker.
That question shows a clear and fundamental lack of understanding of the principles around, and he listed some of the principles. But what was really nice was, in that whole conversation, I expected it to be a dog pile and everyone just come in and tell me what I was. But actually, there was a few people that wrote in and gave me some reading material. This would help you understand a little bit more about what the influence of infinity is on physics. And they gave me this reading list, which I've never gone and got, because it's just like, that's way past me. I couldn't read some of the titles, But yeah, no, Brian Cox has called me a twat, effectively.
Infinity is interesting,
Into fame.
That's my claim to fame, yeah. John Lennon once spat on me. No, he didn't. I'm just saying. But, yeah. So there we go. Supermassive black hole. Ian got excited, got a bit of wood, and that was the end of that story.
There's your show title for today. Ian got excited.
Ian got excited.
Doesn't happen often at my age.
Oh, I'm looking at the two options on the stories here. Dropbox to cut 11% of its global workforce, or Ubiquiti tells customers to change passwords after security breach. Which of those do you not want first? Let's do Jeff's.
That's a tough
one. No, let's do Jeff's, because then by the end of the show, we've forgotten that I insulted him.
You know, totally works for me. All right. So Dropbox has announced they're cutting 11% of their workforce. Next story. The thing for this for me is not a fear that Dropbox is about to go out of business, but it was a reminder that we're relying so much on cloud-based services now that if one of them were to suddenly go belly up, there'd be a lot of people that were screwed. And I was thinking, in this case, I use Dropbox for so much, it would be a real pain in the ass to try and migrate to something else and have everything that I've set up that's automated through Dropbox working through another service. So
no, it wouldn't.
It would be annoying.
Dropbox is shit.
For sure, yeah. But it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't use Dropbox that much.
Yeah, what? Dropbox is over.
I really got pissed off with Dropbox.
Dropbox specifically is not the point. The point is we have become so reliant on cloud services that when one of them should go under.
Yeah, but is it going under?
That could be a big problem for a lot of people.
Is it going under because of the climate, or is it going under because it's shit?
And also, I thought they were just reducing moat.
I mean, likes of Dropbox probably are just feeling the pinch where almost everyone's been given a gigabyte of space with, not terabyte, rather, a space with Microsoft and things when they get an Office account. I mean, it's, or whatever else now. It's almost kind of like, yeah, well, I don't need to pay for another service anymore.
The service isn't brilliant. It's £99 for the higher level, which isn't that high compared to other services that you get anyway. They're restrictive in what you can and can't upload in terms of the duration of certain types of files and so on. I got, wasn't it 12 minutes for MP4s?
Yeah, used to be something like that.
And that was when I just went, you know what, shove it up your ass. I'm not interested.
There was once a news story of Steve Jobs going to Dropbox, offering to buy them, saying, you're a feature, not a service. Let us buy you and build you into OS X.
Really?
And they said, no, we'll last forever.
Oh, well,
remember then, that story.
Then that's karma, isn't it?
Actually,
yeah.
That's karma.
Mm.
They got what they deserved then.
Yeah.
Karma's
and they built OneDrive to spy them then, clearly.
Karma's
the
a bitch.
The feature was built into the operating systems.
Yeah.
Well, that's effectively what cloud service is. It's a really shit storage system where you can't get what you actually want from it, just like Dropbox. They integrated it already.
The big thing is someone who works for a company that does inverted commas provides cloud services to customers. It always strikes me as, would you talk to, again, Joe, I mean, I always use my Joe Public as a way of kind of measuring what things I do and whether it's magic or whether it makes sense. And currently clouds are magic. And truly sensible people in IT are thinking clouds are magic now as well. Everyone's moving their infrastructure because it's cheaper out of their offices and off to platforms like Google or Azure.
Yeah, they forget it's just someone else's computer.
And I keep saying to people, and they keep looking at me like I'm an old, daft old man and just go back to sit in the corner with a cup of tea. It is only someone else's computer. I mean, look at the beginning of COVID crisis in the UK and look at how Azure and Office 365 struggled to keep up with the amount of people that suddenly were at home trying to access their services for a brief period.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely sort of not the magic that everyone claims it to be.
And what if this, if it was Trello or Airtable or Slack or something else that people rely on all the time, very heavily, and and don't even think about it being a cloud service? What if that was just suddenly gone?
Mm-hmm. But they provide something that people want to use. And I think that's one of the problems you've got here is that Dropbox doesn't provide things that people want to use. They provide something which isn't particularly helpful to a lot of people's way of lives now. And they also don't see it as you've just said, they don't see it as Dropbox as being a cloud service. They don't see the designation of the cloud business. They just know that they put a file in Slack and it stays there. They put a file in Trello and they've got access to it from anywhere that they want. So, you know, they don't even consciously believe or understand that they're using a cloud service at that point even.
Yeah, because cloud is a feature nowadays. It's not it's not a selling point anymore.
Yeah.
Everything is cloud.
Mm. Everything should have cloud in it, otherwise people say it's old hat and you don't want it anymore because it hasn't got cloud.
Maybe Drew Houston, right, was dictating a memo years ago and he said we need a cloud service and whoever was writing it down didn't hear it right and said clown service, and that's why they went down the path of not being very good.
And now here we are today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cloud service or clown service, we have a title. Brian Cox called you in a twat, so.
Or it's got wood.
Yeah.
Cloud service.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who works on or has worked on like running like product environment and so on, cloud is better in a sense, but you can't forget that you're relying on someone else and you have to build your system in a way that if something happens to that, you can recover from it. And that's the trick. But it is like, I mean, it is.
Patrick's
easier and more scalable.
I like Dropbox's file version history. Does OneDrive do that? Because it would feel like if it does, Patrick's gone.
Yes, they do.
There's your answer, Jeff.
There's about three of us all replying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Atlee, tell us about your story, dude. Is yours the last one?
Yeah. Well, no, Jess got one as well.
No, we did.
We just did.
Oh my God, this is catching. We just did, Jeff.
What we've done.
Sorry. I'm looking at the last.
Everyone's got Alzheimer's now.
Anyways, ridiculously, we're talking about services and allowing them to do our security and everything else. And Ubiquiti apparently got hacked and is telling all the users to change passwords. But a lot of security professionals are saying that a mass changing of passwords is probably a bad thing to tell all your customers to do, because that actually targets them to be hacked again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
So password changing is a bad thing?
Well, doing it en masse, telling all your customers, everybody quick, go change your passwords, actually just creates a great big flashing point in the internet for hackers to go and go, oh, there's where all the new passwords are coming from.
And they know that a lot of the new passwords are going to be 0123456789.
Or some derivative of the old password or whatever else. So they, you know, and then they also get a flag that these are active people using this thing from this point. So now they've got the MAC address of where it's coming from. And like, I mean, it can create a great sort of target.
Yeah, you can see the phishing emails going out immediately. It's like, hey, you have to change your password. Here's the link.
Oh, and due to the Ubiquiti thing, you've got to also change your banking password. I mean, they're going
to
do it.
Click in here to do that now,
And they know...
There'll be 10%,
Because of... All they have to do is watch what's going on at Ubiquiti, and they'll be able to see exactly who they have to target. Fantastic.
Bob Beach has confirmed that file version history is included. It's built right into Windows. Yes, it does, says Ian. So that's Patrick gone from Dropbox. Done. Dun, dun, dun.
There go another 40 people at Dropbox.
I mean, is there a benefit then? Because the thought I just had straight away there was, if you get you go on Pwned and it says, oh yeah, your site's been Pwned, your profile's been compromised. Once that pops up on Pwned, is Pwned then an indicator of the fact that there is a mass password change about to happen, highly likely? And does it do the same thing?
So the interesting thing about Pwned is that it doesn't target all one account. Like, it doesn't say, everybody at Ubiquity will, yeah, get a flag on Pwn, but only the people that are using Pwn as a service that get notified by it. The bigger problem is that having Ubiquity themselves go out and tell their users is just a giant indicator here. Yes, these are all the people. This is where they're all coming from.
And you've got a global email there as well.
Pwn is the other way around. They get the database of compromised accounts, and then it shows up on the platform.
Mm-hmm. And you have to go and look. It's up to you to sort of check with it.
Yeah, a lot of apps have integrated it nowadays, like 1Password and so on. They will simply check if you allow them to.
Right. Interesting.
Adding to that, actually, I just noticed that there's a few websites, because there's a website I went on recently and on Firefox, and it was like, this site has, your data might have been taken if you are a member or something. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Not a member, but hey.
But it's a flag.
Good to know not to become one.
I'm just going to take a drink from my Ironman Max mug, which you can win. Atlee's not. He's got a crappy water bottle. But if you would like an Ironman Max mug, we have one to give away that I haven't drunk out of. In these times of COVID, I thought that would be a bad idea. And I have got also got three, count them, one, two, three of these wireless chargers to give away for you, which have got two USBs in the front, which is really bloody cool. I love that. So you can charge two other devices off them as well, as long as you don't exceed 3.5 amps, I guess. Oh, no, 1.5
that
amps.
That suddenly became even cooler.
Yeah. So there you go. That is a wireless charger for Ironman Max, and we've got three of those, and we've got an Ironman mug. Now, you can buy these if you want to go to Ironman Max and say, I want to buy a mug. They'll sell you a mug, and they'll send it on to you. You can support them because they're wonderful people. But we're going to give away these. Now, the question, simple question, all you've got to do is email me at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And the simple question is, there are four people who make up Ironman Max. Can you name them all? And I only need Christian names. I don't need surnames. Okay, so there are four people, and we have mentioned them on the show repeatedly, but can you name the four people that are at Ironman Max? Callum's an obvious one because he comes on the Max show. So Callum's your starter for one, but there are three others that work at Ironman Max. Can you name them? If you can name all four of those, send an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and get it to us, and we'll get you a prize, hopefully. If you haven't already done so, have a listen to the Christmas show, because that will be helpful. There we go. This podcast and all the others is supported by wonderful people. The first one is TSO Host. They are wonderful. They give us all the bandwidth. They give us all the servers. They're going to have a brand new streaming service hosted on them for us that Patrice is going to install very, very soon, because Andy said, yeah, go ahead, stick it on. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Because he has faith in Patrice. They're wonderful. Now, what do you need to do? Well, if you want to buy services for hosting from them, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, that kind of stuff, they've got some wonderful WordPress hosting stuff at the moment. You can get a WordPress site and server space for £12 a year, which is pretty good. And they'll give you help in manufacturing and using that, as well as there's tons of stuff that they do for you. But what they actually want from BTN listeners is the recognition. We haven't done this for a few weeks because of Christmas and that kind of stuff. Stop what you're doing right now. Get yourself on the socials and type thanks at Ironman Max and thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. That's all you need to do for our sponsors is give them the brand recognition out there on the Twitters, on the Facebooks and that kind of stuff. Make sure you do say well done to them for looking after us, because we are stuffed without them. And Ironman Max as well. Anything that's got an Apple logo on, if you've knackered it, they will repair it. Simple as that. And now we know that you can pop off the cloth on a HomePod Callum's going to have a go at those, I think, maybe as well. If you cracked and dropped your screen, then they'll repair it. If you've got any device right the way back to an original iPod, they will fix it for you. And actually, as well, they're interested in getting your components in, and they've had a bit of a rush at the moment because they want components in. So if you've got an old bit of tech sat in your drawer and you're thinking, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to chuck it away. Don't chuck it away. Stick it. Give them a call. Tell them what you've got. They'll give you an offer price. They'll send you a label, you send it to them, and within 2 hours of them receiving it, if it's in the condition that you said it was, you'll have the money in your account. Simple as that. They've got loads of stuff that they need, loads of chips and stuff like that, so please get in touch with them. And they do data recovery as well, and if they don't recover your data, they don't charge you. Simple as that. And of course, they do mugs and cool wireless chargers. And all you got to do is remember who are the four people that work at Iron Man Max, and you could have one of them. Time for the cool thing. Starts off, Richie Boy.
Hello. Well, I haven't got a cool thing this week, but do you want to do my news story instead? We can do that.
I thought we did yours.
No. That's
how. Oh, I do apologize, dude. You should have said when I said, have we done everyone?
Oh, I did. You didn't hear. It's okay. Don't worry.
Sorry, mate. Go ahead. Let's do your news story.
I need to turn myself up sometimes. So, the news story and slash kind of cool thing, depending on where you sit on various things, I suppose, is Samsung have released a whole new pile of things. They've had a little keynote. And you might be interested in the Galaxy S21, S21 Plus, and S21 Ultra, which are new phones, and I'm sure they're better than the S20 versions of the things. But the thing I'm actually most interested about that they've announced is the smart tags that will attach to things and be trackable. And this has reminded me yet again, where are my Apple versions of these, please? Because I'd like to stick one to my TV remote.
Well, isn't there a chat about the fact that Apple are going to be doing that?
Yeah, I'm just
kind of surprised. It's been an ongoing discussion for, what, over a year?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, Apple have, of course, said nothing.
Samsung have beat them to it.
Well, Apple have said nothing, have they? They never let on officially. So it's only been, you know, suggestions of there's been bits of code and things like that pop up in revisions of Big Sur and that kind of thing. But there's no confirmation that there are tags coming. And, of course, there's been a market for this for a while, hasn't there, with the bastards that fleece me. Can't remember
the
name.
The funny thing is Tile, that Apple bought some of these things from Nokia that were put out for Windows Phone like 7 years ago. And I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine. He goes, we've got these damn tags, and there's no software that supports them anymore because they were made, the app was made on, or was built into Windows Phone, and everything was fine, and then the Windows Phone went away, and now these tags are used.
They were built on a kin.
That was a devil.
Yeah, for a week.
That was an awesome weekend.
There was a device for a week. Junk
that doesn't work anymore because
it never worked.
The company is gone. They didn't make the software anymore. The product it was supposed to work with is gone. Yeah.
But from what I understand here, for $39.99, I can get a Smart Tag Plus, which will give me ultra-wideband precise tracking, which I can barely even say clearly, and that will help me find things I've lost.
Well, the
this
idea
is very
of-
interesting.
You track my cat.
I don't know if I was Tile. I want to say I was Tile, but I might not have been. But the idea of them was that there would be a ubiquity of these chips around the place. I bought 10 on a Kickstarter project, and then literally like 2 weeks later after they arrived, they started a new Kickstarter project for the new improved one. And that really pissed me off because they were over on delivery on the original ones by over 10 months. But the idea of this thing was that you had this thing, you stuck it on your bike, and it was a low emission signal, so it would last for like 2 years. But what you'd also get is an ability. So if someone walked past with the Tile app on their phone, then it would register your bike, and it would send a message to them saying your bike was last seen at this location. So you'd have a security network that would effectively work with it. And it was a great idea. Yeah. But no one bought them. No one, not enough people bought them, apart from the idiots like me who backed them on Kickstarter and got shafted.
Yeah, maybe Samsung can make it work. Sure. I know, maybe Apple would. Maybe they both can.
Yeah.
I just know I want some of these.
That's the right way to go. like, you have to build it into a large number of devices for it to work, and it has to be, like, ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can just, you can just see a massive lawsuit, can't you, from Tile going into Apple, and
cause even if it, even complained.
They've already complained, yeah.
Yeah.
They have already complained to the US government about it. Like.
Yeah, so it's this is going to rumble on, and they'll do no harm from that, just from the sheer publicity alone.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
It's still a bit more expensive than I like, because, I mean, $39.99 for one. I want them to come in a tub of 120, so I can just stick them to everything and be, hey Siri, where is that other shoe? And that kind of thing. It's not, you know, I'm put one on my car keys. I've set damn Siri up. I can put one on my car keys at that price and leave it there.
Call Samsung and ask for a bulk discount. Maybe they can send you like a full pallet of something.
Yeah.
Tell them you'll be a feature ambassador, and you'll record when you attach to the different devices and do little snippets about it. They'll probably send them to you for free.
There you go. That's the ones that I got. Trackar Bravo.
Oh.
And they were bastards, not Tile. I don't even know if the app still runs in the store. I'll have a look. But it's still in this. I should keep this, actually, because it'd be worth a fortune in a few years. Still sealed in the cellophane. There you go. It should still work because it's got a tab to pull out for the battery.
To level up a wobbly table.
Good. Maybe. Good cool thing, Rich. Well done.
Thank you.
Jeffrey, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing is a game for iPhone and iPad that it costs $2.99. And the premise of this game is called ELO. You have a line that's going across your screen, and now you have to deflect it to get it to go to its target point. And okay. That's it. That's what the entire game is. Now they have like tones and beats that go along with it, so it has kind of a musical feel. And they add in different color lines and other things that you can do with the things that deflect these lines. So it gets more complicated as you figure out the puzzle of how to get your lines to their targets. And it's horribly addictive. I've been playing it for 2 days, and I'm up to, I think, level 40 now. And it's just a really fun little game. Now, I made the mistake of starting it on my 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and you play it in vertical mode, and that's a real pain in the ass to do on the 12.9-inch.
Right.
So this morning, I installed it on my 10.5-inch iPad Pro. Much easier to hold and play a game in a vertical position, assuming I'd have to start over. But it synced over where I was. So I was able to pick up on the level that I was on last on the bigger iPad Pro and just keep going, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
So it's a fun game. The graphics are cute. The sounds and rhythms that it makes as you're moving the line, the blocks around to deflect your lines, it's pretty cool, and it's just a fun little addictive game.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Like that. Atlee, what have you got for us?
So my cool thing is a little higher range than I would normally pick, but it's the tablet I'm going to order tomorrow. It is the new Surface Pro 7 Plus that was just announced last week. It's a refresh. It's not a whole new version, so they even go 7 Pro 8. But this one gives you the option of double the RAM, so you can go up to 32 gigs of RAM on it. With an i7 processor and up to a terabyte of solid-state drive, but it actually has a removable solid-state drive, so you can put a larger drive in. So I'm looking to see if I can get a 2-terabyte one. I've had Surface Pros pretty much since they came out, and I found them to be really reliable, really sturdy workhorses. The one that I'm using right now is a Surface Pro 5, so this is about 4 years old, 5 years old. And it is super, it works great now. The new one actually says it's got expected battery life of about 15 hours. So realistically, with my workload, it'll probably work about 8.
Okay.
Usually the battery life is based on watching a video through the onboard video player or doing, you know, the battery tests are always pretty, sorry, nominal based on one optimized set of actions that the machine's built for. It looks like a fantastic tablet. It'll fit all my existing keyboards, all my existing accessories. They still don't have Thunderbolt on it, but that's more with the Intel chipset and the size of the insides of it and a bunch of other things. So I know that one of the things that I think that they're working on for version 8 or version 9 is to put Thunderbolt in it, but they have to change a bunch of things around.
Cool. Nice one. Good pick. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Part pick, and if you want to know the second part, you will have to listen to tomorrow's Mac Show. The first part is a blood pressure monitor.
Okay.
This is from a German company called Medisana. I did a lot of research. I have found it in the UK for some reason, not in the US. I'm guessing, I don't know, regulatory something. But I did a lot of research in like a good like connected blood pressure monitor that you can like sync with your phone, and for me especially with the health app on iOS, and that has reliable data, because like a lot of them are less reliable than you would like, because like I just wanted to monitor that because it's something that I'm concerned about always and have been for quite a while. And I found this is the BU570. There are like different versions you can get, but this is the BU570 with Bluetooth. Connects to a Bluetooth. The app is not awesome. Like, it is kind of a little bit of a funny app, but you don't have to use it much. Like, that's a good thing. Like, it doesn't really matter how bad the app is. Like, the one thing it has to do, which is you open the app, it connects to the device and syncs it to your health app. It does perfectly fine. Everything else I don't care about. So highly recommend it. Works really well. It has a really big like a cuff thing, or it goes on your upper arm. The range of like the circumference is 22 to 42 centimeters. So I think that should work with most arms. It is actually, from what I've seen, one of the bigger ones, like a biggest ranges of like arms that work with it, because that is a problem. Like, if it doesn't fit correctly on your arm, the measurements are gonna be off. So as I said, I've been using it for almost a month by now, and I've been very happy with it. So I do recommend it.
Excellent, mate. Good one. What have you got for us, girl?
So I'm gonna put it into Slack because I still can't access chat room.
Uh-huh.
And mine's an event that is running next week. So it's a global event. It's just a celebration of WordPress. And since we normally at WordPress, we have like WordCamps and stuff. So this time around, we're having a global virtual event that will start kickoff in Oceania from around 11 o'clock. Universal time here on the 22nd, which is a Friday, and we move on to Asia and then EMEA and end off in the Americas. So we've got about 48 speakers speaking, and it's stuff on WordPress, stuff on well-being, and living life as a remote worker. So it's run by a charity. So the event is free to attend. We've just got sponsors who've covered the cost of the event. And it's supporting a charity that's dedicated to mental health and well-being of remote workers.
Excellent. Are you excited?
Yeah, it's, sorry?
Are you excited?
I am excited because it's slightly different in that it's a nice, the platform that they're using is a nice way to, you feel like you're moving around a table and chatting with people rather than just being in one big Zoom meeting. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Atlee, what's your cool thing? Oh, you've done the cool thing. Sorry, mate. Apologies, that was your tablet, wasn't it? Mr. Grant, what's your cool thing?
There's a link in the chat. Gerry Anderson stuff. More accurately, anyone remember Space 1999?
Yeah.
You can get one of the tops.
Season one was the
You can
best.
Have a cosplay top. You can either be Koenig or you can be Carter.
Blimey. You're going,
How about that for
You're going back to before a few people on this panel were born, mate.
I know. I used to watch this when I was a kid.
And sadly, I'm not included in that.
And it was just it came into my inbox as well, looking for a cool thing. And I thought, that's a cool thing. And if you like anything to do with Gerry Anderson, I can highly recommend the Gerry Anderson store. They have a load of really good stuff, T-shirts and other such nonsense. If like me, you like a bit of old school sci-fi.
Excellent.
Fantastic stuff. And I might treat myself to one of those T-shirts.
Excellent, mate. I like that. Good one. Have I done everyone's cool thing? So I don't forget anyone. Yes, I have. Right, okay.
Yes, thank you.
My cool thing, and I'm going to be a bit self-indulgent here. My cool thing is number one. It's the race seat that I bought, I made. So I've got a wood shop behind me here at the studio, and the guy out there that owns it, Elliot, is brilliant. He just says, if you want anything, there's a wood store there that's got a load of waste wood in it. Help yourself to anything you need. And I've made little shelves and stuff like that and small things to store stuff. And one day I was bored and I went out and I thought, I want an F1 style seat where I'm kind of really badly reclined in it. So I went out and I made myself an F1 seat, which now is absolutely lovely. And I've got Scott Small came out, who's an upholsterer who listens to BTN, and he's coming out to upholster it for me. But... That's not, you can't be my cool thing because you can't buy it. What I'm going to give you as a cool thing is Assetto Corsa. It is the driving game that has really invigorated the whole seat setup and the I'm going to turn that down a bit because that's quite loud. The whole seat setup for me. It has got a load of cars on it. The basic one that you get, you can play with fairly straightforwardly and it's not bad. And then there's add-on packs that you can get and a season pass and stuff, which I've paid all of that. And I think I've only spent about £20 on the extra games and everything else is in there. And it is an absolutely brilliant game to play. The physics on it, you can feel the car slipping and sliding on the wheel. It is absolutely brilliantly done. Here's the great bit. If you've got a Microsoft Game Pass, then you get this free of charge at the moment because it's currently included in it. So all you're doing is buying on the extra add-on tracks. And I think if you've bought the add-on tracks, it's probably going to stick around for a bit longer for you on your account. My favourite car to drive is the Ferrari 312B here that you can see on the screen. And I drive that using the stick shift. And it's brilliant because it's got no brakes on it whatsoever. So you've got to double the clutch and go down through the gears as you go into each and every turn. It's a bitch to drive. I've won two races since I got it, but they were on easy. It is absolutely brilliant. It just looks an absolutely immersive and brilliant experience. And when you actually get it on the screen, and it's like you put I've got a 60-inch screen right in front of me, and you put it on cockpit view, and it really does just feel like you're in there because you get this tunnel vision for where you're going with the track and ignore everything else. In answer to Scott Small's question, do I get work done? Yes, I do. but I've got to say, every time I've got an opportunity to go on there and have a play, I do, because it's absolutely brilliant. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Rich? You're on mute, dude. You're still on mute, dude.
Yeah, I was on mute, wasn't I? Yeah, right. You can get all my stuff at earlymorningbarking.youtube.com, which is talking about mental health for people with BPD and MPD.
Brilliant, mate. Excellent. Jeff, where will you be?
Twitter and Instagram, Jake Gamet, both places, here on The Big Show, tomorrow on The Mac Show. I've done Mac Voices live quite a bit lately. And yeah. Anyhow, I get around.
That's why you're struggling with remembering. It's not Alzheimer's, mate. It's not anything to worry about. It's just because you've been on every podcast.
Well, they do say as you get older, your memory is the second thing to go. But I forgot what they said first.
Yeah. I remember seeing Victor Borgia years ago on video when I was a kid. And he's like, there are three things I can never remember. Number one.
Oh, that's good.
He's excellent. Bob Beach says, what did I use for that? It's the Logitech G923 or something like that with the steering wheel and the stick shift. Bob, thank you, Jeff. I'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, for the Mac show.
Yeah, I have alarm set, so I actually remember to show up for the shows.
Good man. Atlee, where would you be, dude?
You can reach me on the socials at Atlee Hunter, and you can reach me here.
Excellent. Patrice?
Well, as always, I'm every week here on the Mac show, on the Big Show, and tomorrow on the Mac show. Everything I do, all the social media links and whatever on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Excellent, mate. Howa.
I'm on Twitter as Howie A. I'm in the BTN Slack room and you can find me here on the shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and the girly count's gone up this week as well.
It has.
We've got Bronwyn in finally. So we're up to four active users now. Four active girls. Yes. Like that. And Granty, where would you be?
I'm here most weeks. You'll find me on BTN. Otherwise, I can be in the Slack room. And you'll find me writing things. And you'll probably find me writing things on the BTN website soon. I've now found my login details, you and all. I will whack my article up for you.
Good man, that'd be great. Yeah, we did interesting article this week that you wrote. When you said that you'd put it on some no-name platform, I was just like...
Well, it's not no-name, it's massive. Medium is massive across... It's just, but it's more aimed at the world.
It's not BTN, is it, mate?
And it's not isolated to just tech, which is the reason for being on it.
Okay. You can post on our site as much as you like, mate. You go for it.
I will.
Fill your boots, dude.
I found my login details. I'm going to have to see if I can get into it. See if I can work out WordPress.
Make sure you let us know when you put posts on, though, as well, and we'll get them boosted out on the socials and stuff. So,
I shall.
Excellent. Have I done everyone's where you're at? Atlee? Yeah, did you? I'm obsessed with the fact that I've forgotten now. You've unnerved me, Rich.
You broke Ewan. Ewan's only been on one.
I'll just get one.
Oh, that should be the show title.
I'll just get one more drink from my Iron Man Max mug. I did it with two hands like Trump there just because I'm a bit insecure. There we go. And I'll charge my phone using that. Three charging mats to give away and a mug. So all you got to do is name the four people who work at Ryman Max. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And you can follow the network at British Tech as well. Watch out for Carl Swagger every morning. 5 minutes of your tech news update from around the world. Right in your news box at 9 a.m. British time, whether that's GMT or BST. Absolutely brilliant, wonderful, wonderful show from him. And if you can spare us a donation for that show, it's great because we pay Carl to do that show, and we need donations in from you. So $5, $10, or $20 on the website would be absolutely brilliant. If you go to the show, you'll see a pull-down menu. You can sign up there using your PayPal account. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show, and then we'll be back with the Big Show again next week on Thursday. Have a wonderful weekend and enjoy whatever weather thrown your way. It might be icy and snowy, it might not. See you next week. Thanks for listening.